Morning, everyone. Everyone hear me okay? So I'm the fill-in preacher this morning. As Mike called in sick this morning, so I'm delivering his message. So we're looking at Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31 this morning. And up until the beginning of chapter 4, the early Christian church had a pretty good run. Everything had been going well. People were flocking to the church and it was going from strength to strength. But in chapter 4, there's the first signs of trouble. The same people who crucified Jesus have now got their sights set on Peter and John. In these few verses, we see how the first Christians behaved when things went wrong for them. So Acts 4, 23 to 31 reads, "As soon as they were freed, Peter and John returned to the other believers and told them what the leading priests and elders had said. When they heard the report, all the believers lifted their voices together in prayer to God. O sovereign Lord, creator of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, you spoke long ago by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David, your servant, saying, 'Why were the nations so angry? Why did they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepared for battle. The rulers gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. In fact, this has happened here in this very city. For Herod Antipas, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the Gentiles and the people of Israel were all united against Jesus, your holy servant, whom you anointed. But everything they did was determined beforehand according to your will. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus.' After this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they preached the word of God with boldness." Just going to pray now. Father God, just pray that you would stand guard over us all this morning. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and grant us wisdom and understanding of your words here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So Peter and John returned from the Sanhedrin, the Jewish court of that day, after having been threatened to pretty much stop what you're doing or they're going to be killed. They and the people associated with them. And how they react is a lesson for us all. There's a parallel to this in the Old Testament, in the book of Job. Many of you know the book of Job. Job was a man of God. He was wealthy, successful, a man of integrity. In the first chapter, God and Satan are discussing Job. In verse 8, then the Lord asked Satan, "Have you noticed my servant Job? He is the finest man in all the earth. He is blameless, a man of complete integrity. He fears God and stays away from evil." Satan replied to the Lord, "Yes, but Job has good reason to fear God. You have always put a wall of protection around him and his home and his property. You have made him prosper in everything he does. Look how rich he is. But reach out and take away everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." What Satan is saying is that Job is only worshipping God for the benefits. Take them away and see what happens. So God agrees to let Satan make Job's life as miserable as possible. He takes away his possessions, his family, his health, and Job doesn't handle it too well. I don't suppose any of us would. But through it all, he never stops crying out to God. Most people who have tried Christianity but don't remain Christians say the same thing. God didn't make my life better or easier. He didn't stop bad things from happening to me, so what's the point? In fact, some of our closest friends have turned their back on Jesus because things didn't turn out the way they'd hoped. How would we feel if our friends deserted us when we lost all the benefits that came with us? But the devastation in Job's life doesn't drive him away from God. but brings him closer. Like Job, Peter and John's first response is to cry out to God. They return to their church and with their fellow church members begin to pray. But it's how they pray and what they pray for, or more precisely what they don't pray for, that makes it so interesting. They don't pray for God to change the Jewish leaders' minds or to take them out. These people think they're going to die, but they don't ask God to protect them. They don't even ask for God to give them peace. The only thing they pray for is boldness. And that's right at the end of their prayer. Verse 29. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. They're saying, Lord, just give us the strength to do your will and don't let us chicken out. They don't ask that God take their difficulties away. They ask for the strength to overcome them. But the main part of their prayer is just spent talking to God. One of our neighbours, we get on quite well, but he can get a bit self-absorbed at times. And sometimes I'll ring him up. I've got something to tell him, maybe a message to pass on. There's an information day down at the sports club or something like that. He'll be telling me a long story about what he's been doing. There's a bit of a lull in the conversation, so I'll jump in with what I've got to tell him. There's an information day on at such a date. There'll be a brief pause, and then he'll continue on with his story. A few minutes later, I'll try again, maybe add a bit more information. Same thing happens, and we can end up having two separate conversations. I'll finish the phone call wondering if my message got across. Often it hasn't. I'll see him a few weeks later and tell him he missed out on a good information day. And he'll say, gee, I wish I knew that was on. But often our prayers are just like that. God speaks to us through his scriptures. So God talking to us in Isaiah 41 verse 10. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. And our prayer, God, I'd really like a parking space right outside the coffee shop. God says in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. And we can say, Lord, could I please get served straight away? I don't want to be held up. I've got things to do today. God says in John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And we say, Lord, my coffee was a bit cold last time. Could you please make sure it's nice and hot? Now, I know these things are fairly trivial, and usually we pray for things way more important than that, and so we should. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. But as Seth said in his sermon a couple of weeks ago, don't focus on the small miracles and miss the main miracle, what Jesus did on the cross for us. The main part of Peter, John and their church's prayer is spent talking to God. They're not asking him, they're answering him, reminding and reassuring themselves of God's sovereignty, that he is their maker and that he is in charge and in control. They repeat part of the second psalm where David prophesied Jesus' death and how it would come about, and remind themselves that is exactly what happened, that it is all a part of God's plan. It's by looking to God and what he promises that they find peace and reassurance on earth. And then in verse 31, God lets them know that he has heard their prayer and answers it. After this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. The remainder of chapter 4 goes on to talk about the generosity that the church showed after this. Yeah. For most of us, our money, our possessions, our house, our car is our security, our freedom. It's not that we don't give more away because we are tight or stingy. It might be partly that. It's because we are scared to. It's no coincidence that right after their prayer is answered, that they become incredibly generous. They no longer need their money and possessions to feel secure. The knowledge that God is in control and that he sent his son Jesus to bear our sins is all the security they need. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you this morning that we can come before you and listen to your word. And Father, we just thank you that you are sovereign, that you are in control of all things, and that you love us, and that you sent your son to die for us, to take away all our sins, and so that we can stand before you clean and free. Thank you for these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.